In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
DJ, good morning. How you holding up?
Good morning. I'm holding up real well.
It seems like every game you go to the sideline, you're getting hit, you're getting
tough
hurt.
One, yeah.
I'm always like sitting there kind of holding my breath. I'm sure your family cares more than I do, but I worry about this hit. My God, is DJ going to call us?
No, the hits be hurting in the moment, and after that, I'm good to go.
At the end of the first half, you went into the locker room a little bit early. I saw you even you dropped your helmet and then you went in inside. What was that injury? Because it seemed like there were a couple times you got a little banged up, but what was that one?
I had gotten a slam to the ground.
Yeah.
Just lost a win and I couldn't get it, so I needed to go inside real quick.
A friend of mine texted me and said, make sure you ask DJ why the screen passes that were never working when Shane Waldron called them were suddenly magic in the first half. It seemed like it didn't matter where you got the ball. You were having a good time with it. What was the difference? You were getting the ball in space, but you weren't getting the ball down the field, but you were catching everything and you were making plays.
Just trying to make things go. And that was really the big thing. Shout out to the line and the receivers that was helping me get downfield. So that was the main thing.
DJ, let's talk about the last sequence of plays. The right before the Cairo Santos blocked field goal, the Bears are at the 28-yard line after Roschon Johnson gained 2 yards. 35 seconds left. Now, we're not in the huddle, and we're certainly not on the sidelines, but in the press box, watching on TV, wherever the vantage point is outside there, the question is, why not get closer? Why not try to get closer? How did you view that, and why do you think the decision was made not to try to get closer?
Because we probably knew that that was Cairo's kick spot, and he was money from there in warm-ups, they were saying. So, I mean, you'd be damned if you do, damned if you don't, and we didn't, and we put all our faith in Cairo to go do it, and it so happened to get blocked, but we all stand behind Cairo because he's a good kicker.
Yeah, you know, it's just a tough way to lose. I'm not breaking news here to you, for sure. I know it was heart-wrenching to lose in that fashion, especially as it's in the midst of a four-game losing streak where you had that Hail Mary disaster in Washington. So it's two really gut-wrenching ways to lose. How do you handle that? Is it easier with experience? Was it worse because it's an opponent that is a division rival?
It's a little hurtful because it's a division rival, and you never want to lose like that. When everything was going good, and then that's the outcome. I mean, it's going to hurt bad, but we got another division opponent that we got to go out there and beat.
A lot of changes last week. Shane Waldron was fired. Thomas Brown takes over. I just wondered if you could talk about how difficult it is to have a new game plan with a different play caller. The playbook doesn't change, but the play caller does. And what the biggest difference was with Thomas Brown calling the plays yesterday?
I want to say probably the biggest difference is we had a lot of energy coming out of there. We was all involved in the play, so it was like we never know who's going to get the ball and on what play and be able to make a big play out of it. And we had a few of those, but that was it.
It's pretty extraordinary that you converted 9 of 16 third downs. You were 3 for 3 on fourth down. This has been kind of a bugaboo. The third down thing had been a real problem, and it felt like, I think, 6 of those 9 conversions were from third and 1 or 2, so that's a lot easier to convert from that distance than from some of the distances you've had before. Did you feel like you were ahead of the chains in the game?
Yeah, I felt like we stayed ahead of the chains. There was a few times we had some penalties that we don't agree with, but I mean that put us back some. But we was in manageable third downs, and the fourth downs, Caleb was eager to keep going because of the momentum that we was having on offense, and they let him rock out, and we got the fourth downs.
So, DJ, we'd like to thank you for providing some amusement last week with the trash talking with Xavier McKinney. Even though it was something that was originated last summer, it came up last week. Just curious what you thought of that having to be addressed last week, and then what happened yesterday? Was there some back and forth between you and McKinney?
No, it was no back and forth yesterday. Most of the people that was talking was they front seven, so they was getting after it. The back half really wasn't saying anything.
Well, and I want to be careful because I don't want to get you in trouble with that guy. He's a very sensitive flower of a man, I think. but he did not have a great game. Don't comment on that. I'll just say it. He also got called for a dumb personal foul when he shoved.
But I wondered if the refs were looking for that because of the pregame stuff.
That is exactly what occurred to me. When you talk like that, you make it sound like you're going to do something, and then when you shove a guy out of bounds, whether he really did
intent.
Something. Exactly. You're going to get called for that. So I was really hoping that you know, you guys were going to win and you could kind of have fun with him a little bit in the post game.
Yeah. Whoa. But, nah, when he said, the penalty was crazy. That's the one where he pushed Caleb out of bounds.
Right.
Caleb did a good job. So I can't be mad at that penalty.
Did Caleb flop?
He made a meal of it. Didn't he kind of make a meal of it?
He did a good job and got us a flag.
This segment with DJ Moore is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency, call the plumbing professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. So yesterday, Caleb Williams, I felt like, stopped the regression. He had a very positive game, and I think that you had to like what you saw. Just curious, DJ, because of all of the stuff that changed last week, we mentioned Shane Waldron getting fired. There was a report that Caleb got in front of the team and apologized for his role in that. I'm not, maybe not playing well enough to, you know, that led to the dismissal. Did you feel like that was appropriate or necessary? What was your interpretation of what Caleb Williams had to say to the team?
Yeah, he did that. And I feel like, I mean, he did it out of the kindness of his heart and just to let everybody know that he's going to be better and that he took some ownership in the things that he had to take ownership of. And he went out there this week and at practice and corrected those and then went out there Sunday and had a good game.
What kind of guy is Thomas Brown? He seems charismatic. He seems like he has a presence. It felt like he was better in front of the room, at least when he was talking to the media, than Waldron's been.
Yeah, he just got a lot of confidence and a lot of energy. So he just brought that into the offensive meetings and throughout the weekend. You've seen it on Sunday with the play calls, and he just him. He's going to be him, and that's the only way he knows how to be.
He's somewhat evangelical. I mean, when he talks, you feel like you get motivated by listening to him. There's a lot of football isms in there, but I feel like the guy could be very dynamic in front of the room, which it makes me wonder, the subtle change. He's in the booth. Shane Waldron was on the sidelines. As a player, I don't know how much, if you have a preference at all, but why would an offensive coordinator choose to be in the booth rather than on the sideline, and does it matter?
I want to say they can see the game better from up there. That would be my thing. Most of my play callers did it from the booth, besides Shane and I want to say Joe Brady. But other than that, everybody else been inside the booth.
It's a difficult thing to talk about a rivalry game. And, you know, I don't even know if it's a good rivalry. The Packers have now won 11 straight against the Bears. And that is the most in this series, which goes back to the beginning of the NFL. I'm sure they've given you guys all sorts of presentations about what it means to the family and all that stuff. But I just wonder when you talk about 11 straight games, it is actually the longest winning streak of any two teams in the league between anybody. I mean, they have created now 11 wins, and I know you're not a part of all of them, but how frustrating is it to be on the wrong end of that, especially in a game like yesterday where you feel like you've won the game and you're just waiting to get that field goal?
I mean, it's tough because they go on 11 game series win streak. It's like, all right, you want to end it so bad, and then to come up short like that is like, that'd have been an amazing way to just walk off with a win, right, off that Cairo field goal.
So, DJ, last week felt like a season unto itself, and it would have been one heck of an episode of Hard Knocks. But there were many reports and a lot of talking, and one of them included a report that Bears veteran players went to coaches and suggested that maybe it would be a good idea to rest or bench Caleb Williams for Tyson Bagent. Is there any truth to that? And where does that type of stuff come from when you hear things that, like, in the midst of all of the controversy that unfolded last week?
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, because it said multiple veterans, one of them went Caleb bench for Tyson, but I really don't know where that came from. And when I was seeing it, I was just confused. Like, and then I was getting named. I'm like, I never said that to anybody inside the building, outside the building. I wasn't even thinking that.
Yeah, apparently it wasn't accurate. It was kind of a story that got legs but wasn't true. And I don't know where the rumor got started, but there's been a lot of people saying it just wasn't true. So if you never heard that, I would think that you would have a much better sense of what's going on in the team than anybody else.
Yeah, so when it came about, I was just shaking my head like, this is can't be life, because now people just making up stuff.
Yeah.
So you look at Caleb has, in the last four games, unfortunately the four-game losing streak, he's thrown 126 passes, and he's not throwing a pick, DJ. And I just wondered, from a outside perspective, if you could help us understand, there's a fine line between being very careful and protecting the football and not being afraid to take a risk down the field. I think that the downfield passing game with the Bears seems like it's got a ton of potential. And maybe sometimes it's worth taking those chances at the risk of maybe throwing an interception. But how delicate is that balance, and what is the right balance to strike?
Got to hit it in the play action world. When we're having a good run game, and then the defense is bringing everybody into the box, and then you take that calculated shot. And from there, you can just try to piggyback on it, and that's when you get the deep game going.
It felt like yesterday the plays were getting in faster and you guys were getting out of the huddle more efficiently. And you'd had time, you could look at things. It just felt like the rhythm of the play calling was different. Is that accurate?
Yeah, we was getting in and out of the huddle. I felt like everybody was dialed into the details on each play. Hmm. And just going into the game, we was all on one accord with any play that was called.
Doesn't get any easier. The Vikings come to town. Brian Flores in that defense, you know what to expect. They're going to attack. They're going to play aggressively, and you know that you got your hands full. How challenging is this Viking defense? And mentally, how difficult is it to get back to work and to, you know, attack things when you're in the midst of a losing streak that you're in?
Yeah, I mean, going into practice this week, everybody's just going to be wanting to get out this losing streak. Because once you're in it, you're like, man, what's the fastest way to get out of it? And that's winning the game. And once you start winning the game, you don't want to lose that feeling of winning the game, winning games back to back. So, I mean, that's how I'm going to attack it. And the Vikings, they're going to bring a lot of pressure, and we're going to have to deal with one-on-ones on the outside. So it's going to be another game where we got to step up.
Do you think you'll be used down the field more? I mean, it seems like you are used fairly close to the line of scrimmage, and we know, you know, that you can do so many different things. Are you just content with whatever role you have? Might you go to Thomas Brown and tell him, hey, let's try a go route here?
Nah, I won't do that. I know it go from week to week. The game plan changes. Some weeks I might be running downfield. Some weeks I might be running intermediate. Some weeks I might be at the line. But it all depends on what the coverage gives us and the play call that's called.
So last week, I think Keenan Allen was pretty candid, and we appreciate that when players are as honest as they are. When he was saying about Shane Waldron, he was too nice, and he was maybe as accurate. I just wondered what you thought about that assessment of Shane Waldron and the right mix of being nice and being fair and being stern that you expect from your coaches.
Yeah, you can be too nice, but at the same time, I get where he was coming from with it, but yeah, I think he might have been a little too nice, and that got him bit in the butt, and now we're here. So yeah. I would say that was a fair assessment.
Yeah, the way it sounded from what Keenan Allen said, he was so nice that he let some things go, that there was some slippage, and he talked about that happening at minicamp, right? I mean, he's talking about before you even got into the season. Did you get that sense that there was some slippage on some details even that early?
Not really, because we were still putting this stuff in. So
right.
I won't say it go back that far, but you can see where he was trying to, where Keenan's trying to come from with that. But, I mean, it was just him.
Do you like being part of the running game? Do you like the way that they use you in terms of whether it's the glorified handoff is basically goes as a forward pass, a reception?
That spin move was outstanding. That 5-yard run you had, you had to break your rear end to get 5 yards.
You enjoy that stuff?
Yeah, it's fun. It's like a good mix-up. So, I mean, I don't have no problem doing it.
Maybe they should have run you at the end of the game.
They get 5 more yards.
That's so mean. Hey, DJ, when you think about this week going in, last week was crazy, right? You go in, you there's a firing. They cut Nate Davis. I mean, that's a pretty big move to get rid of a guy. No, he wasn't playing, but he was making some good coin. Are you looking for kind of a normal week? Is that too much to hope for?
It's going to probably make it as normal as can be. I mean, you really can't dwell on anything in this league because you never know when it'll get turned around. And then hopefully it starts on Sunday. Well, it got to start this week. Right. We're having a good practice. And then on Sunday, you just go out there and ball how you can and work for that W.
Now, DJ, I know we ask you a lot of big picture things, but I think that when you look at the Bears this week, last week, Jaquan Brisker had to be put on injured reserve because he's still experiencing symptoms from a concussion a month ago. Yesterday, Ryan Bates leaves the game in protocol early on because of the concussion. So how much does that, when you have situations like this occur, affect your thinking and mindset? Or do you learn at an early age, you learn as a professional that you have to block out those kind of concerns?
Yeah, I think we all know this is a dangerous game, but you got to be mindful of it, but also block it out of your mind at the same time because it can happen to anybody at any point during the game.
I know you've told us that you're never going to tell anyone to get you the ball. You're never going to demand it. You played quarterback when you were a young kid and everybody wanted the ball and you didn't like that. But when you catch 7 passes and they target you 7 times, maybe throw 10 your way, right? Maybe throw 15 your way. What the heck?
We're across that road when we do. I'm just waiting on that type of game to come to me and not get force fed.
Hey, did you see Tom Brady yesterday?
I saw Tom Brady yesterday.
Did you have good exchange with them?
I was running out on the field and said, "Hey, Tom," and he said, "Hey, DJ."
That's pretty cool. All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate your time as always.
Have a good
great week,
DJ.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That is DJ Moore.